from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the main points. Indonesian government committed to protecting Indonesian citizens abroad. Indonesia and Malaysia boost joint efforts against drug trafficking. Now the news in detail. Expert staff of the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs for Social, Cultural and Empowerment of Indonesian Communities Abroad, Heru Hartanto Subolo, emphasized Indonesia's commitment under the leadership of President Prabowo Subianto to increase the protection of Indonesian citizens abroad. On the sidelines of the Conference on Indonesian Foreign Policy 2024 with the Indonesian Diaspora Network Global in Jakarta on Saturday, Heru explained that this commitment is stated in the Legal Reform Work Program in the government's 8 Astacita Program missions. He also said that the government will increase the involvement of the Indonesian diaspora in supporting national interests.
Saya bisa pastikan bahwa pemerintah sekarang, Presiden Prabowo Subianto,
I can assure you that the current government under President Prabowo Subianto has laid a strong foundation for the sustainability of protection and ensuring the rights of Indonesian citizens abroad in one of the Astacita, and that has become a work program. Especially if we look here at the Legal Reform Work Program in Astacita 7, actively involving the potential of the Indonesian diaspora in realizing national interest by expanding access and improving facilities for Indonesian people abroad. In addition, in an effort to improve the protection of Indonesian citizens abroad, according to Heru, the Indonesian government also has an Indonesian Community Card program abroad. This program is carried out to determine with certainty the number and distribution of the Indonesian diaspora. The Indonesian National Narcotics Agency, BNN, and the Royal Malaysian Police, PDRM, have agreed to hold joint training and operation in narcotics eradication. The agency's deputy for law and cooperation, Agus Irianto, stated that the joint training will be conducted at the agency's Human Resources Development Center facility, while the joint operation will be carried out along the Indonesia-Malaysia border. This cooperation is expected to strengthen the two countries' efforts in eradicating narcotics and increasing the capacity of law enforcement officers in each country. The Royal Malaysian Police Delegation visited Bogor, West Java as a follow-up of the meeting in Kuala Lumpur in February. The two sides agreed to increase the exchange of information related to law enforcement, rehabilitation, and the formulation of more effective policies in tracking narcotics trafficking. Indonesia is in the process of joining the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development OECD and the BRICS Economic Cooperation Group to achieve national goals and interests. Indonesia's Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono revealed this on the sidelines of the Conference of Indonesian Foreign Policy in Jakarta on Saturday. He said multilateral groups such as BRICS, OECD, and IPEF, or Indo-Pacific Economic Framework for Prosperity, as well as TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership, can be platforms to help realize the hopes of the nation. Minister Sugiono said that these organizations provide a great opportunity for Indonesia to support the people's welfare and overcome major challenges such as poverty alleviation and energy and food self-sufficiency. Indonesia's Golden Visa Scheme has been strategically designed to attract high-value foreign investors and global talents to support sustainable economic growth in the country. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Immigration and Correction Silmi Karim at the 18th Global Citizenship Conference Agenda in Singapore on Friday said the Golden Visa is increasingly attracting international attention, given Indonesia's potential to be one of the world's largest economies in the next few years. He informed in Jakarta on Saturday that the government is pursuing a two-way vision through the Golden Visa that is making Indonesia the main destination for foreign investment by simplifying residence permit requirements as well as ensuring that incoming investment supports sustainable economic growth, especially in sectors such as technology, tourism, and renewable energy. He said that the program is in line with Indonesia's vision for inclusive and sustainable development by encouraging job creation, knowledge, and skills transfer through the presence of global talent and infrastructure development. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump said on Saturday he had a very productive meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in which they discussed border-related issues and other topics including trade, energy, and the Arctic. Trudeau flew to Florida on Friday evening, days after Republican Trump had pledged to impose tariffs on Canadian and Mexican imports after he is sworn in as president in January. The pledge has raised fears of trade war between the U.S. and two of its biggest trading partners. Mexico President Claudia Sheinbaum warned this week that Trump's tariff plan would have dire consequences for both countries and suggested possible retaliation following his threat of across-the-board 25% tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports. Trump wants to use tariff as a tool to get Mexico and Canada to help stem the flow of illegal drugs into the U.S., particularly the deadly opiate fentanyl, and also migrants crossing illegally into the U.S. Australia Prime Minister Antonio Albanese said on Sunday that criticism by Elon Musk of Australia's social media ban on children under 16 was the ex-owner pushing an agenda for the social platform. While indicating he was open to talk to the billionaire about the ban legislated this week, Australia approved the social media ban for children late on Thursday after an emotive debate that has gripped the nation, setting a benchmark for jurisdictions around the world with one of the toughest regulations targeting big tech. The ban, which the center-left government says is world-leading, could strain Australia's relationship with key ally, the United States, where Musk, a central figure in the administration of President-elect Donald Trump, said in a post this month, it seemed a backdoor way to control access to the internet by all Australians. The law forces tech giants from Instagram and Facebook owner Meta to TikTok to stop minors logging in or face fines or face fines of up to $49.5 million or $32 million. And a trial of enforcement methods starts in January with the ban to take effect in a year. More than 30 crew members of Thai fishing boats were detained in Myanmar waters on Saturday after an encounter with other vessels, which left one person dead. Suat Donsakur, A naval commander in the southern province of Ranong told EFP several Thai fishing boats were operating within Myanmar's waters at the time of the incident on Saturday. He said he had instructed local authorities to negotiate with their Myanmar counterparts to secure the release of the fishermen. A spokesman for Thailand Ministry of Foreign Affairs told EFP that they would also engage in negotiations with the Myanmar side to secure their release. Thailand and Myanmar share approximately about 2,400 kilometers of land and maritime borders, including in the Andaman Sea. Thai fishing boats have been illegally operating in Myanmar waters, raising tensions between the two countries. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on simultaneous regional election momentum to increase foreign investment in regions. The Jakarta Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, assesses that the simultaneous regional head elections that has just been held in Jakarta can influence investors, especially foreigners who realize investment in the country. Quoted by Antara in Jakarta Wednesday, chairperson of the Jakarta Kadin, Diana Dewi, said that the simultaneous regional elections in Jakarta were a crucial momentum that could influence investment decisions, especially by foreign investors. Diana Dewi said that the momentum of this regional election made foreign investors tend to be more careful in responding to political changes. She added that the role of a regional leader is very important because it is not only running the wheels of government, but also to create a conducive business climate. That way, it can encourage economic growth and public welfare amidst the many challenges of Jakarta to become a global city. She also hopes that the future leader of Jakarta can make the economy grow and can increase employment opportunities for the community. She added that the simultaneous regional election 2024 not only has an impact on technical aspects, but also has a major influence fundamentally. Diana Dewi hopes that the next leader will be able to eliminate the gap in society. Meanwhile, the Honorary Council of Germany, Daniel Darmadi, assessed that the simultaneous regional elections are a momentum to create a solid, strong, and stable regional government. Through a short message to RRI Voice of Indonesia on Friday, he expressed his hope that the existing cooperation projects between Indonesia and Germany can be implemented well under the new regional government. He also hopes that the cooperation that will be explored in the future between the regional government and Germany can be realized and achieved successfully. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with December the 1st, 1956. Bung Hatta resigns from the position of vice president. Muhammad Hatta or Bung Hatta officially resigned from his position as vice president of the Republic of Indonesia in 1956. Previously, in 1955, Bung Hatta had announced that if the parliament and the constituent assembly elected by the people had been formed, he would resign as vice president. He announced his intention to resign through a letter to the chairman of parliament at that time, Mr. Sartono. A copy of the letter was sent to President Sukarno. Sukarno tried to prevent it, but Bung Hatta stuck to his guns. The results of the House session finally agreed to Hatta's request. Effective from Saturday, December 1, 1956, Muhammad Hatta officially ended his position as Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia, which he had served for 11 years. Moving on to December 1, 1959, the Antarctic Treaty System signed. The Antarctic Treaty System is an international agreement regarding Antarctica. There are many nations that want to control this continent. That is why the Antarctic Treaty was held in 1959. This treaty was signed by 46 countries. The Antarctic Treaty states that Antarctica will be used for peaceful purposes so that everything related to the military, such as the construction of military bases, war exercises, and testing of all types of weapons, is prohibited in this place. They can also enter the entire Antarctic region freely. The biological resources in this place will be protected together. I'll end today in history with December the 1st, 1988, World AIDS Day commemorated for the first time. World AIDS Day, which falls on December the 1st, is commemorated to raise awareness of the world community about the AIDS epidemic caused by the spread of the HIV virus. The concept was conceived at the World Health Ministers meeting on programs for the prevention of AIDS in 1988. Since then, World AIDS Day has been commemorated by governments, international organizations, and charities around the world. World AIDS Day was first conceived in August 1987 by James W. Byrne and Thomas Netter, two public information officers for the Global Program on AIDS at the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listeners, in this week's listeners' mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Peter Ng in Malaysia. He sent a reception report of VOI broadcast in English, which he heard on October 24, 2024 at 9 p.m. UTC, using the frequency 4755 kHz with the SIO444. In his email, Mr. Peter Ng asked to send him a QSL card and also the latest schedule of our broadcast. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your reception report of English broadcast. As your request, our management will send you QSL card soon. Please be patient. And for the latest schedule, you can download at our website voinews.id by clicking Program Schedule at About Us category. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you, so keep listening to VOI.
pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang janganlah ragu sendiri.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on SEA Games initial parameters for athlete developments towards world events. Chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Raja Sapta Oktohari, says that the Southeast Asian sports competition, SEA Games, is not the only indicator for measuring Indonesia's sporting achievements. According to Oktohari, the SEA Games are more appropriately seen as an initial benchmark for assessing the progress of Indonesian athlete development before facing bigger events such as the Asian Games, World Championships, and the Olympics. He explained that the SEA Games, which involve 11 countries in the Southeast Asian region, are indeed important, but cannot be used as the sole benchmark for assessing the success of Indonesian sports in the international arena. In Jakarta Thursday, as quoted by Antara, he said, "In the SEA Games or Southeast Asia Games, Indonesia is competing with Asian countries. Yet, Indonesia cannot overestimate the SEA Games because there are many bigger targets ahead. For example, the Asian Games involving more countries or other world events with a wider scope." Oktohari emphasized that the SEA Games could be used as a test case or trial for all athletes to see whether the achievement coaching that has been carried out so far has been carried out seriously and optimally. Regarding the 50 sports that will be competed in the 2025 Bangkok SEA Games, Oktohari explained that it is still under discussion with all stakeholders. According to him, the policy related to the participation of sports in international events will be adjusted to the needs and potential of each sport. Because sport require large costs, Indonesia doesn't need to waste a lot of money without considering the achievements that will be achieved. For example, sports that focus on the Olympics are certainly different from non-Olympic sports. This all requires specific handling because each branch has different characteristics and challenges. That was my Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Mr. Anand Mohan Bain in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English through frequency 3325 kHz at 1 to 2 p.m. UTC with SINPO 4444. In his email, he also enclosed audio recordings about English programs. He asked to send him a printed QSL card. Hello sir, thank you for sending the audio recording as your reception report. After I have listened to the recording, I think it can be heard clearly even though its sound is a bit small. Now it's time for me to play you a beautiful song, so happy listening.
Banyak yang ku alami, kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. Walau ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu. Sentosa
terkesima mulai melebu dalam hati ini, dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is on Misol, a paradise in the Raja Ampat Islands, Papua. Misol is one of the four large islands in the Raja Ampat Archipelago, West Papua. This island is located off the west coast of the main island of Papua and directly borders the Seram Sea. The land of Misol Island consists of hills, dense forests, and mangrove swamps. Not only that, this 234 square kilometers island is home to ancient cultural sites, because here a number of petroglyphs were found on cave walls throughout the island, which are on average around 5,000 years old. Misol Island's marine panorama is decorated with karst rock clusters with a fairly complete underwater ecosystem. Misol Island is part of the world's coral triangle. Therefore, it is not surprising that various ornamental fish can be found on this island. From the stunning underwater beauty, amazing karst rock formations can be seen to rich underwater life. Every corner of this island holds a charm that is ready to be visited. One of the most iconic spots on Misol Island is Love Lagoon, or Laguna Cinta in Bahasa Indonesia. This place is located in the geosite Karawapop area. As the name implies, this place has a unique shape like a heart and makes it perfect for taking pictures. Love Lagoon is also an ideal place to relax and enjoy the beauty of nature. In addition, here you can also swim or just go around using a kayak. Around Misol Island, you can also enjoy the beautiful view of the Fafanlap stone array, which is a large rock that is naturally arranged and located in the middle of the ocean. This natural phenomenon not only attracts the attention of tourists, but also becomes a subject of research for geologists and natural researchers. If you visit the area, you will definitely be able to enjoy the calm atmosphere while admiring the beauty of the sunset and the rock formations that are thousands of years old. To reach Misol Island, the journey begins with a flight to the city of Sorong, which is the main gateway to Raja Ampat. After arriving in Sorong, continue to the harbor to take a ferry, speedboat, or Finnish ship to Misol Island. This sea journey will take about 4 to 6 hours, but you are guaranteed not to feel bored because throughout the journey you will be treated to the natural scenery of Misol, which is a shame to miss, including rows of small islands and clear waters that are blue-greenish color. If you love marine tourism, visiting Misol Island can be your choice of tourist destination. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Abdel Hakim Boujema in Algeria. In his email, he asked us to send him some goodies like pins, keychain, t-shirts, pen, USB, magnet for ego from our radio station. Hello sir, thank you very much for enjoying our services and for reporting the reception of Voice of Indonesia signals in your area. We truly appreciate your feedback. Due to the large number of reports and limited resources, we will send a QSL card gradually. So please be patient and continue to stay tuned to our services and the engaging information from Voice of Indonesia.
Let's enjoy my freedom. Kini aku bebas. bebas lakukan apa yang ku mau.
Ini aku bebas.
You just enjoyed the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. Next, we have Miss Selene.
Miss Selene today is featuring studying the population of bent-beak birds to Gajah Mada University students who win international awards. To students of the postgraduate programs of the Faculty of Biology, Gajah Mada University, Indonesia, Dudi Nandika and Dwi Agustina attended the Ornithological Conference from November the 14th until 17th in Beijing, China. Both received awards at the conference attended by 528 delegates from 39 countries, consisting of 76 universities and 37 research institutions. This conference is an event to increase academic exchange between countries in the Asian region, promoting research and conservation in the field of ornithology. Ornithology is the study of the physiology, evolution, and behavior of birds. The conference was initiated by the International Ornithology Union, IOU, and the Institute of Zoology, Chinese Academy of Sciences, in collaboration with the International Zoological Society, China Ornithological Society, and the Avian Research Journal. The awards received by the two students were the First Prize Poster Award for Dudi Nandika and the First Prize Presentation Awards for Dwi Agustina. In addition, both received the Travel Award from the AOC Committee. Dudi Nandika, a doctoral student from the Faculty of Biology Gajah Mada University in Jogja, Indonesia, successfully presented his research entitled Recent Data Analysis Feeding Gilt's Bird Community as a Bioindicator for Manusela National Park Management in Maluku. The research conducted by Dudi is a research to find out population data and composition of bird species in Manusela National Park Maluku, which will be used as a basis for managing the area and updating data for policies to determine the status of bird species. The second Gajah Mada University representative, Dwi Agustina, is a master's student from the Faculty of Biology who presented the results of her research entitled Aligning Cockatoo Conservation Efforts with Local Huaulu Customary Wisdom on Seram Island, Maluku, Indonesia. The research conducted by Dwi Agustina discusses the conflict of interest between the Huaulu indigenous community in Maluku and the government, because the Huaulu indigenous community wants to hunt cockatoos to get their crest feathers for customary interest. However, this is contrary to the government's conservation interest. The Dean of the Faculty of Biology, the University of Gajah Mada, Professor Budi Setiadi Daryono said that the award and research results produced by the two students are expected to provide benefits to the Indonesian people and become a motivation for research efforts and bird conservation in Indonesia. That was Miscellany Today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ini hidupku, bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan mengejekamu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan mengejekamu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Caraku, bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri, dengar suara hati.
Jangan mengejekamu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana. Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Cahaya di sana, kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka, akan berkata apa. Ku masih bisa ubah mimpi jadi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Li listener, today's Music Corner presents a song by Maudy Ayunda. Ayunda Faza Maudia, who is known as Maudy Ayunda, is an Indonesian actress, model, writer, and singer. Maudy Ayunda released her latest song entitled Puisi Kota, or Poem of the City, on November 25, 2024. In this song, Maudy collaborates with the legendary Indonesian musician Iwan Fals. Although it was released on November 25, 2024, this song was actually first written by Maudy on April 17, 2023. In addition, this song also involves Simhala Avadana, vocalist of the band Numata. The song Puisi Kota tells a personal reflection on life in Jakarta, which is full of contradictions. The big city provides many opportunities and also dreams for some people, but on the other hand, it can also make someone feel small and lonely. Well, listener, here is Maudy Ayunda with her latest single, Puisi Kota. Have a listening.
Dan waktu
apa yang
from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325.4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official, and of course to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out, and bye for now.